I'd feel awkward.
Would you feel awkward? Because we're live right now, everyone. Oh,
okay. Are you serious?
Yeah, we are. Welcome, everybody, to the X-Men Bros. No intro music today because
David's lazy.
Because I'm lazy.
That's the whole reason.
That's exactly it. Welcome, everybody. We're actually coming remote today because Mr. McSpicy, you sound a lot better. He's had a cold, but you sound good.
I've been drinking a lot of water. But I sounded like death like a half hour ago, so I didn't want my brothers to get sick. So
brothers in arms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. We're the X1 Bros, and we stream live over on YouTube, youtube.com/X1Bros, every single week, every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show, you can subscribe to us there. You can also become a member. You can join us, and you get membership badges, loyalty badges. You get behind the scenes. We do a behind the scenes member lounge every week when we're not remote. We're not going to be doing it tonight because we're remote, but they're all there. And there's Baldur's Gate gameplay. There's other gameplay that's coming up, going up over there as well. So come join us and thank you for your support. With that, let's. Our title is PlayStation Layoffs. There's lots of it's the gaming industry as a whole. Microsoft had major layoffs. EA is having major layoffs. PlayStation now is having major layoffs. Spicy, let's start with you. Any comments, questions, concerns, thoughts? Where are we at as an industry?
Well, I mean, let's start with the discussion. It's always sad to hear layoffs, sad to hear about layoffs because it's people's livelihood and stuff like that. I definitely want to start with that. I mean, there's reasons that these layoffs keep taking place, and we'll get into that. But I think it was it 6%, 5% Sony?
I think it was 8%.
Is it 8%? Yeah.
Yeah, it was roughly 900 people.
Yeah, they're being laid off. And I thought I saw that it's mainly outside of the U.S. I think the U.K. got hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
For those, maybe some of those people are listening or whatever. It's a scary thing because that's how you provide for your family and all that stuff. But one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life was getting laid off. Believe it or not, it's a stressful thing. It was very scary, but it helped me move on to bigger and better things in a recessionary period of time. So my initial thoughts are, for those that actually had this happen to, for all the Xbox, for all the developers, EA, all those people, take this as an opportunity to better yourselves is what I would say. So it can be a very, very good thing. That said, let's talk about like why this is happening, I guess. We had a period of, I mean, David, you say it best. We've talked about this in previous episodes when we talked about the Xbox layoffs that took place. 2020 was an interesting time when it came to a lot of things, and it was an inflationary time, I guess, when it came to investment in development and game studios and stuff like that. And from what I understand, I mean, I have a simple mind. I just like to play games. I'm no expert, but it seems as though that from my point of view, this is an industry correction that's taking place. And David, you probably know more about that but that's what's most likely happening with Sony. It's a correction from all the push that they had initially, and it's now starting to correct itself.
Yeah, I think we're just living through a correction. That's lots of industries aren't correcting themselves right now. That's unfortunately just what it is, and that's where we're at. Jordan, anything to add, take away?
No, I think you guys said it best. But yeah, like you said though, Mark, it was mostly the London studio. I guess that's closing in its entirety, and then a few other places. But that's where I think it got hit hardest.
Yeah, it can be an exciting thing as well. It's all about perspective, right? Put that music behind me, that inspirational music. This can be a good opportunity to go to bigger and better things. And that's what I hope happens with these people that are being laid off. That's my hope. I want to see them succeed. It's always fun seeing, people succeed. And I want that to happen. So it can be scary, but try to look at the positivity in what can happen. And that's what I hope happens with this. But yeah, so Sony, Sony isn't alone. I mean, Xbox isn't alone. I remember it was like a huge deal a couple weeks ago. People were, were really upset with Microsoft. I don't see the same hate going towards Sony, but we've talked about that before with this. It's more this time. It feels like the anger has released. People are not as aggro when it comes to Sony in this case, but I think that's because people have already been mad and they're drained of being upset. But I don't know. I don't spend my time on Twitter or social circles.
No, people are mad. They're mad at stupid stuff.
Well, it's an example, though.
They're not mad about this. They're mad about other things around this that's stupid.
We talked about this before, though. It is an example. Microsoft does not do a good job of controlling the narrative. For instance, PlayStation, like, not a peep. I mean, there's a peep, but not like on any of the things with Xbox. Basically, what has happened in the past 3 weeks is PlayStation has done everything that Xbox has done that Xbox got excoriated for.
Absolutely, that's funny. They just did it after them.
Yeah, it's true. But they control it better from the ground up. I mean, I'm sure their corporate infrastructure is set in such a way that they can control everything there. Whereas Microsoft, I think, is a little bit more loosey goosey. But I want to talk about this because, Jordan, you've played Skull and Bones.
Yeah.
And there's this headline over at Pure Xbox that Ubisoft boasts record player engagement with pirate adventure Skull and Bones. Do we believe this, or is this spin?
Well, what's the record against?
That's a good point.
Because if the record is against Skull and Bones, like, you just need more players than the previous day, right? So
yeah.
But the first weekend of a game always peaks, right? So maybe they're talking about that. But I'm going to be honest, did we talk about Skull and Bones last week?
No, we didn't. We actually didn't. After the show, we were like, oh shoot, we should have talked about Skull and Bones.
Jordan Mann bought Skull and Bones for $70.
Yeah. And I would.
Real quick though, before you get into that review, here's the way Ubisoft is measuring this player engagement is with daily hours played. Over 4 hours of average daily playtime has been recorded. They are saying.
So what this tells me is they found a stat that they could go with. Because that seems very specific.
External reports have claimed that Skull and Bones has gotten off to a slow start with roughly 850,000 players jumping at a time of the below report, including free trial players. So ultimately, we just don't know.
Yeah, because does Ubisoft Plus do something similar to EA Play where you get so many hours of gameplay for being a member type of thing? So is that their free trial that they're counting as well?
Possibly.
So, which I also think skews the number, because of course if someone doesn't have to pay for something, they're going to try it, right? So, but no, Skull and Bones, I played it for a while the first couple days, and then after probably about day two or three, I
stopped.
I only played it with my son, because he likes pirate ships and pirates, so he'll play a lot of Sea of Thieves with me, and then we'll play this game together. So I've specifically only been playing it with him, and we're having we have fun doing our little things, and we kind of get distracted doing our own things. But the game as a whole, I do not think is anywhere worth $70. I would not recommend paying $70 for this.
Jordan, this is the first quadruple A game.
Yeah, and it's a shame that this was the first one. So, or maybe it's like AAA is the peak, and then you start going back down.
Because in the beta,
the other side of the hill.
I had fun with it, but also, where does it go? Is that the does it not go anywhere?
Look, I'm not at end game, so I'm sure I'm going to get people that are saying, "Well, you haven't got to end game. That's where the fun begins," and that I think is a problem all on its own. But so I'm not at end game. But the way the game's going, I'm probably not going to get to end game because it's
why? So, what is it about it?
Look, like you said, you had fun in the beta. There's pockets of fun. Like the first plunder thing I did, it was fun. Sailing around, doing some of the combat is fun. Like, I think there's isolated pockets of fun. But there's, in my opinion, there's tediousness that doesn't need to be there. There's stuff that I feel should be there in place of the tediousness. For example, tediousness, the gathering system. It's you sail on a boat to the coast of an island and you play a mini game where you hit the trigger at a certain time to either gather minerals, trees, wood, whatever your sand, you know, whatever you're gathering. And it's just, it's bothersome. It's not fun. It's a lackluster system that I think was added in at the end. And that's another problem with the game is you can see that it's gone through iterations of gameplay. Like, for example, when you build a ship, you can see remnants of this game's old, because when you guys played it at E3 forever ago, It was more like this is a PvP, straight up PvP naval game. And you can see remnants of that. For example, when you build a ship, this ship here is dedicated to support. Like, it is a support ship. And you're thinking, okay, well, why do I need that?
Yeah.
Especially like if I'm playing solo or, you know, it's just you can see remnants of when this game was maybe a survival game or strictly just a like a Call of Duty PvP game where you pick a class and go out. Now it's just, I don't know, it's the biggest takeaway I took from it, and I compare it a lot to Sea of Thieves, and you can say, oh, Sea of Thieves is a different game, and that's fair enough, but Sea of Thieves is really the only other mainstream pirate game, so that's why I'm comparing it to it. It doesn't do anything better than Sea of Thieves. And to be honest, there's not, I don't think it does anything better than any other game that's out there. And I think that's its problem.
Do you think if
there's no uniqueness about it, there's no reason, you know, like at least in Sea of Thieves, like one of Sea of Thieves' biggest selling point is one, the ocean, because the ocean is incredible. And two is the way you sail. The way you sail in Sea of Thieves is incredibly unique to Sea of Thieves. And that's what sets it apart from other games. There's no uniqueness to this. It's not, people were comparing it to Black Flag. It doesn't do anything better than Black Flag. And that's why it's just, it's in this weird spot. And to be honest, what hurts it the most is it's a live service game and it's $70. This game either should have been free with live service asset or with live service model, or it should have been like a $20, $30 game. You know,
it's only a $20 game to you. That's
as it stands right now. Yeah. Wow. I think so that's what would be fair.
Yeah. I mean, you've said that if it wasn't a quadruple A game and they didn't say that at that $70 price point, you think that the reviews would be better.
I think people wouldn't be hammering it as hard, myself included. You telling me that this is a quadruple A game and you think it's worth $70? No, I don't think so. I think at the most right now, and like I said, look, there's pockets of fun to be had. Me and my son played it last night. We had a little bit of fun. I mean, it's just, it's not, it doesn't do anything better than any other game out there in its, well, I guess in its genre, but you know, just in general. I mean, it's, to me, at the most, it's a $30 live service game.
Spicy. Having said that, any chance you're going to jump into it?
No, well, it comes down to the price point. So $70, I talked about this before. $70 requires a little bit. I mean, well, not requires. For me, it feels risky to put in $70 to play a game that I might or might not like.
Yeah.
I think $70, $60, it feels better. There's still that, oh, I might not like it. But for some reason, that extra $10. That extra $10 makes me not pull the trigger. There are very few games that are $70 worthy. Chat's talking about it right now, like Dr. Teeth. I'm not sure I've seen any games where $74 so far. I can probably count on one hand games that are Elden Ring. Elden Ring, I would say, is worth $70. I would actually, this might be controversial, I would say that Escape from Tarkov is worth $70, mainly because of the amount of time that you can get out of that game if you like it, which I definitely like that game. It resets a couple times a year and you get enjoyment out of it. Enjoyment. Well, that's a, you know, that game, but you get a ton of value out of that game. So there are very few games $70 worthy, and it sounds like this is obviously not one of them. The reason I would not play this, David, to reiterate, is it's too risky for me. I just don't want to lose $70 in this today.
Well, I think what you described, Mark, is value, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A $70 value. I don't want to sit and trash on this game because, you know, a year from now, 2 year from now, it may be great, right? You know, they may add a lot of stuff. I mean, look at Sea of Thieves now compared to when it launched. It's a completely different game and it's for the better. But as it stands right now, you know, like I said, pockets of fun here and there, but you can just see, you can see the struggle of development, I guess. You could see, like, okay, this used to be a system, or they used to be going for this. You know, you could see the different iterations this game went through. And I don't think the value is there, especially when you have other games that I was just talking to David about this. Helldivers. What is Helldivers? $40 on Steam if you buy the lowest package. To me, that has a $70 value. That game could be $70. You know what I mean? That game is half the price. And in my opinion, it's, I think, the best game of 2024 so far and one of the best co-op games out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's Sea of Thieves does not have the value for what they're asking.
Well, it's fast forward on this
video. And that's kind of where I'm at with Skull and Bones does not have the value for what they are asking, which would be $70 and potentially more money with season passes and cosmetics.
Well, it should be a free to play game.
And that's what it comes down to. That's the model it's going to, or that's the model it is with their live service, their in game shop. In addition to, I think they announced season one, this week, the season pass, I'm sure, will cost money, right?
Yeah. By the way, I think I figured out before the show, guys, we couldn't get my video was stuttering. This is coming through smooth.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's a different browser. Hey, Mark, you were right. Different browser.
Yeah, screw the browser you were using. And do you have a browser conversation? Because I have thoughts. And Jordan has thoughts, too. Jordan went off about 10 minutes.
Jordan uses Opera.
GX, not GX. Opera. Because Opera is
terrible. This is Safari Opera that GX. I'm on now, and we're running smooth. But Safari GX is built for gaming, correct?
Opera GX is
or Opera.
Is,
sorry, not well, sorry. It's Safari GX. Opera GX.
It's their marketing is geared towards gamers. Yes, because you can. It has on the left hand side. It has all your Twitch, Twitter, X, YouTube, like everything right there. So it's all easily accessible. You can control how much resources it takes from your computer, which is the main reason I initially downloaded it. But
Spicy, what are your thoughts?
Jordan's a nerd.
Yeah.
And what do you use?
Spicy and uses, when you and when you use
Brave.
I use Brave, Chrome, Edge. I mean, it depends. There's no one good browser.
There used to be.
Yes. I would say when Chrome
first.
Chrome 2010.
When it first dropped. It was so lightweight and
that was their thing. It was lightweight. Fast. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I even have Firefox installed for those times when
Firefox was the bomb too. And then it got heavy.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Sorry, Jordan, you were saying about Opera GX. You were saying it even does what?
Oh yeah. Well, when I was telling you before the show, when I load up Opera GX, it doesn't give me like 10. Hold on one second.
Oh, thumbs up to someone. While we're waiting, Dr. Teeth says, I think Skull and Bones' biggest problem is everyone wanted Black Flag 2. And that's exactly like when you see the ships here. In fact, we should do a side-by-side comparison because when you see these ships sailing and then you look back at Black Flag's ships, they were just better. Like it was a more immersive pirate experience.
That feels like the trend right now. A lot of people, I mean, what was that, 3 weeks ago? We showed Arkham Knights and
Suicide Squad.
We showed the comparison side by side, which I really love that comparison because of some certain reasons. But why is it that 10 years ago games look so good, like ridiculously good, and then we have less quality? The overall sense I get from viewing those is we just have less quality in the games. Is it because it's not necessarily art style?
Yeah,
it feels like something's something's wrong when a 10-year-old game looks better. That never used to be the case.
No,
that never.
That's why I don't think some people got on me in comments in a few videos that I've done where I said for next gen gaming, I'm very much not concerned about graphics.
No, I'm not either.
Speed and smooth.
You say that, but there is parts of you that.
Don't get me wrong. Fantastic graphics are fantastic by their nature.
Yeah.
But we seen a huge jump? Like, when was the last time?
We've seen it's gone backwards. That's the thing. Like, it's okay to say, I'm not concerned about graphics, but when 10 years ago, Geralt's hair looks better, you know, than all the games coming out. Like, well, what?
Yeah, but Geralt's hair did make the game unplayable for a lot of. I mean, that was.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like. Is it because games are being rushed out? Is that what it is?
Well, this game was not rushed out.
We see so much progress when I don't know if anyone here watches like the Unreal, you know, every couple months they come out with something else, or like game engines are showcasing what they're capable of. And I feel like the game engines themselves are giving developers more and more power, but we're seeing like a regression. Is that a word? A regression of quality when it comes to fidelity. Yeah. And it feels that never happened before. I don't know what's happening. You get what I'm saying?
No, I totally get it. Yeah. Well, I will say I was impressed. Spider-Man PlayStation 5.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
That's also almost half a billion dollar game. So
yeah, I should say it's not all games. It's
Red Dead Redemption 2, impressive. But look how long ago that was. How old is Red Dead Redemption 2 now? It's not like Skyrim on mods looks better than games dropping today.
Five, almost 6 years ago, Jordan, 5.5 years ago, Red Dead 2 came out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't, maybe it's my old age. I don't care about graphics.
No, you do.
No, you do.
You guys are saying this, but no, I know you, and yeah, you're lying.
But here's the thing: it's like let's say a game has amazing graphics, and it's like, okay, that's fantastic. I'm still playing these games, like for example, Helldivers 2. I mean, the graphics are decent; they're not insane, but I think that's the funnest.
But when that airstrike comes in, Jordan, and it goes.
It looks good, but it doesn't. I mean, it's not. I don't think Helldivers is the graphic fidelity of like God of War. But I think Helldivers is the best game
presentation.
Of
presentation does matter. You know, Helldivers nails their presentation.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, let's look at Baldur's Gate. One of the greatest games ever made, in my opinion, in the top two, and their facial animations are not so great.
They don't have great facials.
The thing is I don't care because the game is so good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we've said this before. You can have the greatest graphics in the world and it can be the worst game, or you can have the crappiest graphics in the world but the best game. And I think
you could have both.
I think that's too much to ask for the world.
It kind of feels like
this very much,
as a society don't deserve it just yet, I guess.
Well, this very much, people have said this, and I agree with this sentiment. The Series X, the PlayStation, this feels like an in-between generation. And I think that's correct. I think we saw improvements with speed. Nothing. I mean, and that's fantastic. I can never go back. Don't get me wrong. But if Sarah Bond, for instance, said it's going to be the largest generational leap, well, it's kind of unfair because I don't know that this was that big of a leap, at least not what we've gotten so far.
No, it was a large leap with raw power. It definitely was.
Yeah, but we've not seen the benefits of that raw power.
I think we have. I think it's been more computational than visual.
Well, okay. Those go hand in all hand, the
games
Jordan.
That name a game that's computational, not visual, that I cannot also play on my Xbox One.
Or a console, period, right? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying Xbox like Spider-Man Series 2. X, if it's such a big jump, the computational...
any exclusive on PlayStation.
The computational should not be backwards compatible then. And well, they all are.
Maybe computational is a bad a bad phrase. What I'm saying is like being able to do 4K 60 on some of these games, because like Mark said, the raw power, it takes a lot to run things at 4K. Like it's not, that's a, it takes a yeah. lot of stuff under the
it's
hood
to
run. It's a huge jump to run 4K 60, and that's just 4K 60. And not all games can do that on the Xbox yet.
Dressler got me. Flight Simulator is, That is correct. Okay.
Dressler it's the whole world.
Well done, good sir.
No, which is why we talked about this. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but in this next generational leap, again, graphics are graphics, right? If the game is, you know, I think the fun factor of the game is more important than the graphics. But what I'm looking forward to, and this is what I hope they focus on, I would rather have a game at higher frame rates than, you know, all this motion capture, realism, photorealistic stuff. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping for. And like we talked about, the new,
yeah,
the new performance mode or quality mode will be 60 frames and the new performance mode will be 120. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I want on the console, just because I think frames and resolution, I think we've kind of dialed in with resolution. Like I think 1440 is fine. And if you have a 4K TV, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't think we really need to go any higher
than 1440 or 4K
or 4K, right? Like if you're playing on
proof positive, I resubscribed to Netflix recently and I am not paying for the upgrade to 4K and I don't need to. Everything looks fine on my kick-ass TV. 1080p looks just fine. Would it look better? I'm sure it would, but it's not enough to get me to go from $14 to $22.
Well, and it's a lot higher than that if you share your account with your friends.
Friends
and family.
Well, and so
they now make you pay an extra $8 per person.
4K is,
and that goes up.
Overrated in my opinion.
Well, no, I don't think 4K is overrated. Overrated. I think 4K looks good, especially if you have the TV that can handle like 4K, like your TV, for example, David. Xbox in 4K, the games that run at 4K look very good on your TV. If Xbox comes out and starts marketing, yeah, this is the new 8K Xbox. I think that's the wrong marketing move. I would rather have frame rates over 8K. You know what I mean? Would you not rather?
It's the reason that everybody that PC players get 1440 because 4K is NBD.
Yeah, well, that's mainly because streaming doesn't really support 4K.
Yeah,
it does, but it doesn't. It's just
I think it's a power thing, isn't it? Like it takes a lot for that capture card.
Oh yeah, 4K, you definitely need a separate hardware
. I mean, I use this example all the time. Mark and I were playing, and David, you played for a while too. We were playing Destiny 2 for quite a while when Lightfall came out.
Yeah.
I will not play Destiny anywhere other than my computer because of how good and smooth it played at higher frame rates at 1440p resolution. I was playing at 1440p resolutions at a smooth 120, a little bit higher in certain cases. It was one of the best gaming experiences I've had. Like, and Mark, I think you made the switch too, if I'm not mistaken.
If I'm not mistaken, baby.
What was the switch? Sorry,
Destiny. We were playing on console. Oh, yeah. And we switched to PC because of just
I did it not necessarily for the frame rate. I did it because mouse and keyboard on that game is awesome.
But how smooth does it feel when you play?
It does feel smooth. I think you feel the frame rate smoothness a lot more when you have a mouse versus a controller. You just feel the frames a little bit more.
You can be a little bit,
I will have a counterpoint, though.
Go ahead.
I think there is, from like, let's say 480p to 1080, when we got that was a huge jump. 1080 to 1440 to 1080 to 4K, that was a less impressive jump, but still very, very noticeable. 4K to 8K, your eyes are not going to notice any difference whatsoever. There's a lot of studies on it. The distance of how far your eyes, especially when you have bad eyes like me, but if you have really, really good eyesight, 4K to 8K is negligible. Mm. But I will say having the hardware to support 8K gives us hardware to make some really badass, or did I say 4K or 8K? 8K. It gives us hardware to support some really, really powerful gameplay.
Yeah.
Really, really powerful. Like 8K, the exponential graph that goes up the hardware necessary to support an 8K game, you can utilize that and push that game. You can do some crazy stuff with 8K hardware. Yeah. So the benefit of saying the hardware is capable of pushing 8K, you know, gameplay, that means we're getting hardware more badass than you could imagine to consumers.
Yeah.
Not like real, you know, I just think that's a discussion that should take place and is important. The hardware capable of that will destroy any hardware previous as far as what's capable. I don't know. So counter argument is I'm excited. I'm excited for 8K, not to play in 8K, but to get games that, you know, look really, really good. However, if developers aren't pushing those, and 10 years ago graphics is better than today graphics, that's bizarre to me.
Jordan,
that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, Jordan, I just pulled up Final Fantasy Online on Xbox. I like the controls. It's left trigger, right trigger, as your key binds. Yeah, there. 8 buttons.
Imagine those as, think of those as action bars, right?
You have
eight slots per action bar.
Yeah. So you dove in more this week still. I mean, the thing is, it's kind of a game that's not going to be reviewed because it's already been reviewed on the PlayStation. So it's
everybody know what to expect. It'll be reviewed per expansion, right? Not per platform, and that's just how it is. Right?
So go ahead.
I was going to say, so when Dawn Trail comes out, we'll get a review of Dawn Trail, and that'll be, I guess, your Xbox review. You know what I mean? Because that'll be the game that. Because we know Xbox is launching on or before Dawn Trail, which I believe is this summer. So
100%.
I personally think they're going to launch before Dawn Trail because I'm not a developer, okay? But I think everything's done for them, right? I think they're just ironing out, just making sure that their game talks properly with Xbox, right?
You're not a developer, but you use a developer's browser for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I watched an hour-long video last night.
Was it in 4K?
No.
It was on actually my phone. Here's a point of here's an example of a game that doesn't have necessarily modern graphics. I mean, they're doing a graphics update, but
so here's the thing. I want to play
this. But imagine, Jordan, if it had good graphics.
It's true. Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. You want to know what it does? Cutscenes. And it's got fantastic cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Blizzard does that as well, really well, where it's, you know, not the best graphics and then cutscenes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they do really good.
So here's what I'm struggling with. I want to play this game. I just don't know that I have the time. And so I'm watching these people like, should I play this game? Is Final Fantasy, you know, online worth it in 2024? And what may have convinced me, and granted, I have about 6 hours in this game from before when I first jumped into it years ago, anyways, on the PC. What may have convinced me is this guy, I forget his name. Shout out to whoever you are. Apologies that I forget your name. But he brought up the point. He said, the story alone is worth it. If you're very much into story,
that's really good.
It's worth it.
Yeah, and you know how that old saying goes, David.
Give it, dude.
It's better to have gamed than lost than to have never gamed at all.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Confucius, I believe, is the one who said that.
So I, you know, every time I'm debating buying a game, I just think of that, and I end up buying it.
Fair enough. I can't. How do you argue with that? I can't.
No, and I think I think for like you and Mark, the Xbox free trial is the perfect place to start because you don't have to invest any money into it right now. You load up the free trial. You are limited in certain aspects, but nothing you guys will notice. And you can play all the way. Like I said, I forget the expansion they're going to now, but it's beyond 60. It's, I think, Heavensward. Is it Stormblood? Which is way. I mean, you got hours of gameplay before you're kind of hard locked and have to buy the later expansions. But no, I think the Xbox trial is a perfect spot for you and Mark to start, or anybody who's been thinking about playing this game, because there's no financial investment for you. You can just jump in. You do have to make a Square Enix account.
Is a time investment.
Yeah, which in certain cases could lead to a financial investment. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
But I think it's a really good MMO. We talked about it last week. David, I think you'll like it more so than other MMOs because it's story focused. It's a Final Fantasy game first, MMO second.
That's cool.
And that's the appeal to it.
Then I was watching those from once you that their players were saying, I'm reading comments and stuff that if you just run through it, like if you power through it like a traditional MMO and you start to do the dungeons and stuff, you're going to be lost with friends. You actually the story matters here.
Well, you can't. Like, for example, if you play classic Warcraft, you can dungeon grind or you can mob tag and stuff like that. You can't do that in this game because they actually lock stuff behind the stories. Mm. Now, whether you think that's good or bad, I think, you know, I mean, I guess you could pay for a skip, but at that point, you know, you're going to buy the game anyway. So, but like, for example, certain dungeons don't unlock until you have to play through like story to get to a dungeon and stuff like that. So I think it's a good introduction for both you and Mark, especially with it, the free trial. Like all you have to do is make a Square Enix account and you're good to go.
How long does a trial last? What are the limitations?
I believe here, I'll look it up to make sure. I know the trial went all the way to Heavensward, which was the first expansion. I believe it goes to I think the trial goes to Stormblood, and now it goes to Endwalker, which is the newest expansion. I let me look at the free trial.
And is that progression linear? So I have to start at the beginning and then go through all the expansions, or does that make sense? My question.
From my understanding,
rephrase your question. What do you mean? Like you start at level one. Like
no. Like so those are expansions, right? That you just named to this game.
Correct.
You said it's things are locked behind certain things. So do I have to go through main story first, and then go to expansion one, expansion two, expansion three, linear like that?
Yes, you have to go through the main story to get to certain expansions.
Okay. Now, while I'm progressing with that, do I not have everything at my fingertips that say someone who purchased the game has?
There are limitations, but they're not what you think they are. There are limitations, there are limitations to prevent bots. So I don't think you can. There's certain chats that you cannot be a part of because you're a free player, and that's to prevent like gold spamming, gold. Sure. It's to prevent bots, right? So there's certain little things like that that you cannot.
Well, let me give you an example as someone who's never played this and doesn't understand how this game works. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's say in expansion 5 that's not released. This is just hypothetical. My character is introduced to a new ability. Okay, like something awesome. But because it's in that expansion and not part of my package free play, I don't get that because I haven't bought it. But it is affecting my gameplay. Does that make sense? So are things like that locked behind that I would have had access to if I had paid for it versus whether I have not?
Yes, when you get to level 70.
Okay, so it's okay.
Which
at that point,
level 70 is...
How long does it take?
Shadowbringers.
How long does it take to get a level?
I think someone can correct me if I'm wrong. Because okay, so current level cap is 90. And every expansion gave you 10 levels. So Shadowbringers brought you from 70 to 80, and then the current expansion Endwalker brought you from 80 to 90. So you're only missing out on the last two expansions. But by the time you get to 70, you've gotten your free trials worth. Like that's not like you're not going to do that in 2 days.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know what I mean? You're not going to do that over the weekend. So to answer your question, yes, there is new abilities that you get at like level 72 and then 82. And that, you know what I mean? Like that, you do not have access to those class abilities or those stories in that expansion unless you purchase the game.
Gotcha. Okay. But I wouldn't get those anyways until those levels.
Until those levels, correct.
Okay. That totally answers my question. Got it. I just don't know how much time. It sounds fun. Time is a currency in my life right now.
Same. Here's the thing, Jordan. Do you agree with this statement? Because I've seen this said that it is the most consumer friendly MMO. In other words, all the best stuff is not in the store. All the best stuff is earned.
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, there are some mounts that are really cool that are in the store, but I mean,
David wants the highest level stuff right when he starts playing.
It's not. It's not.
That's how I know it, how
not,
he plays.
It's not pay to win.
No, no. That's well. No, I like that. I think that that's what it just. It stood out to me. It was a statement.
I would say all the most prestigious. Well, I guess all the. You can kind of say this with Warcraft too. The most prestigious stuff is in-game earned, like rewards for ultimates, which is like the highest level of raid. Mm. Is all in-game earned. Yeah, I think it's consumer friendly. I mean, they haven't done anything to upset me.
Yeah, and then
they even their subscriptions, I believe they have, I mean, it's been so long since I've been subscribed for a while. I believe they have an option, like a $14.99 where you can have as many characters as you want, and then like a $12.99 for just one character.
That's cool.
I think I pay for the lower one because you only need one character, because, well, I mean, some people will disagree with me on that, but
yeah, hard
because
hard
they're stupid, right?
No. You can do other characters and stuff, but the thing is every character can be every job. You don't say, okay, I'm going to be a paladin, and you're stuck as a paladin. Yeah, you can switch. Weapon,
right?
So, for example, if you like Mark, if you level a red mage, is probably what you would be, Mark.
Yeah.
You level a red mage all the way to 70, you can be like, man, that was a lot of fun. This is all in the free trial, by the way. You can say, man, that was a lot of fun. But you know what? I want to be a warrior now. Same character. You just go into town, change your job. You're now a level one warrior. You can level him all the way to 70.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If me and David were to start playing and you were to play with us, we're level three. We're sprouts. Mm-hmm. No one cares about us. You're some badass 85 or whatever level you are.
So
how can we play together?
If we were in a dungeon together, it would level balance me.
Yeah, but you have access to 15.
I would not if we're in the lower.
Lose abilities when you go down the level.
Correct. So it level scales me. So if I were to do a level, let's just take 20 for example. We're you guys just hit level 20. We're doing a dungeon. You invite me because you're like, I need a tank that knows what he's doing. So I'm like, hey, okay, I'll come in and help you guys out, right?
Yeah.
So I come in. My character is locked to what abilities I had at level 20.
Interesting. Okay.
I play a dragoon mostly, but I would lose my level 90 ability because it's not balanced for a level 20 dungeon, right? Yeah.
Well, that's what I disliked about Guild Wars.
And what it does is it's kind of nice. It basically just grays out my bar. Like it grays out the abilities that I can't use and it kind of fixes them for me. But the thing about it is I can level with you guys because even though I have a max level dragoon, I can level a red mage, a whatever I want, right? A warrior. I've actually been leveling a paladin. I could level him with you guys because it's so easy just to switch back and forth.
Yeah,
that's nice. That's really nice. Reactor League, real quick. Super chat from Reactor League. He gifted 5X1 Bros memberships. Huge shout out. Thank you, thank you, Reactor League. And everybody, drop a BFF if you're one of the ones that received one of these gifted memberships. Thank you very much. Reactor League also says, barely played the trial so far, but got up to 15 already. The progress is starting to slow down, but so many quests, he says. Yeah, I would imagine there's a ton of quests in this game.
Yeah, let me ask you this. This is a pet peeve of mine. Is there a quest limitation quantity? Like, I hate how Warcraft only lets me have 20 quests.
I assume there would be because I think it's like what did remember when Destiny had a vault limitation because of hardware? You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, but why I think it's is something that like hardware that, right? based? It's text on a screen.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't.
I don't know what the number is. But if I were giving any advice to a new player,
okay,
what I would say is the only quest you should focus on is MSQ, which has a very specific symbol over the head. It's like a meteor, you know.
I believe that's a programming language.
Yeah, well, main story.
I'm just kidding.
quest in there, whatever you want.
Oh, that's what that means.
Yeah,
okay, I'm a noob. Okay.
Yeah. So the MSQ is the main story quest, right? It's the story that'll take you from level one all the way to level whatever, right? To 90 or whatever you do. But if you were a free trial player or a new player to the game, my suggestion would be, hey, all you should focus on is MSQ and blue quests.
Why are they blue quests?
What blue quests are? They're like little blue. They have So the quest icon is an exclamation part, exclamation point. This one's like blue colored, and then it has a little plus next to it. What that means is it's going to unlock something for you.
Okay, got it.
So, for example, the glamour system, which is basically their transmog, you have to do a quest, a blue quest, which is a unlock quest for it. So, and that as a new free trial player, that's all I would focus on. You don't need to go in and be like, oh my gosh, there's like 50 quests in this town. Don't even worry about that. What actually the best way to min max, I think, is save those quests for when you switch to another job. Because you can't do the main story over again. So save those quests for when you switch to another job. But yeah, and that's all I would focus on. And that will take you through dungeons. It'll unlock the duty finder, which is the dungeon finder. It'll unlock raids. It'll take you through everything you need to be taken through. And if you do the blue quest, the checkmark quest, or the plus quest, it'll unlock everything you need to unlock.
Got it.
So, but the game, yeah, I think it's very beginner friendly, and it's a good game. Excited.
I may jump in. I haven't downloaded.
I mean, why not?
Yet.
I mean, here, this is how I look at it.
It is better to game than to ever game at all.
Yeah. No, let's say you decide to play for like 3 hours on a Saturday and then you never play again. Hey, what's 3 hours? You know?
That's true.
Just play it.
3 hours is 3 hours.
I know, but you'll have fun.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Well, and David, I think he would like it because it's more linear. I mean, it's definitely more linear than other.
Oh, no, this is a question David should be asking. How is the tutorial?
I've done the tutorial in this game already when I was on PC. It's just normal questing, really.
Yeah, the only, I guess I would say downfall is, I mean, I didn't find it very, I mean, this is coming from like World of Warcraft grinding, though. I didn't find the A Realm Reborn grind to be too bad, but I could see where, like, if you're just jumping into an MMO for the first time, going through A Realm Reborn, which is, I believe, 1-50, right? The first game. You could see that it's dated in certain respects as opposed to the latest expansion.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but.
All right, last question before we get out of here. This week, well, it was actually late last week after the podcast, but more and more rumors dropping. Looks like there's where there's smoke, there's fire, that a white Series X all digital is on its way probably this summer from Xbox. If it's all digital, it's probably going to be like $50 cheaper. Do you buy or no buy?
To be honest, with them announcing a new console at the end of the year, I would wait for that.
Yeah, that announcement, that was a forced announcement, I think, right? I don't think they're planning on announcing their new release of a console. I think that's going to hurt the sales of the white Xbox.
But they're not announcing it at the end of it. What do you mean the end of the year?
Didn't Sarah Bond say at the end of the year they're announcing the new console?
Yeah. But that's not until 2026 expected that we're...
Wait, they're going to announce it? Okay, hold on. 2026, hold on. Wait, you're telling me, because this would actually annoy me greatly, that they're going to, at the end of 2024, they're going to announce a console for 2 years later?
And did she announce? Did she say? I don't know what you guys are talking about. Did she say that?
I will look it up. I thought she said it at the end of the year.
Well, they did have the discussion. The next console is going to have the greatest leap in whatever.
Yeah, they said that. They said they're already working on it, but I don't think they said when they're announcing it.
Okay.
Yeah, Jordan. I don't think that's fake news, man. Fake news, Jordan.
Maybe. I don't know. But the fact that they said that there were, I don't know. I would still wait.
I don't know.
Yeah, for a discless version, I mean.
Discless white?
Look, if you don't have an Xbox and you're looking to buy an Xbox, sure, but I'm not going to go get a white discless one to replace my current one.
Hmm. And that's here's the thing.
Unless it's like the 1S, unless it's 11% better, you know, like the 1S was. But
bought that because you wanted to.
Because it was 11%.
There are some upgrades. You called me. Jordan called me several times just to tell me he was 11% better than me.
I loaded into games 11 seconds faster than you guys.
It's rumored that there are some upgrades, but nothing, I think, substantial. So. I just like the white. I think it was nice if you have extra money to, which by the way, it's my birthday this month, everybody. And I was debating, do I get a MetaQuest 3 and treat myself? Or a PlayStation 5?
Well, if you want to play the new Final Fantasy game,
PlayStation 5. That's not even.
Then you're probably gonna find PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of.
Well, that idea is stupid. That's I'm telling you as a friend.
Jordan, you have a Meta Quest 3. 5. Do you use it anymore, or is it gimmicky?
No, I still use it. I actually play a lot of Beat Saber.
Oh,
because Beat Saber is actually like a really fun game that makes me feel like I'm exercising and jamming at the same time.
Yeah, Beat Saber is cool. Quest 3, I actually lost 35 pounds, says Devout Canyon.
Ooh, that's great. I'm not saying
the boxing one.
I'm not saying the Quest 3 is not good hardware and a good device. I'm saying the
PlayStation
5 is the better answer in this scenario.
Here's what I would do with the Quest 3. I would lay in bed and play on that big screen Xbox games.
It's not like super comfortable to lay in bed because of the head strap.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do it, but also you look like a hive from Destiny, so it might hinder your romance in the bedroom. If you just wear
it. Or spice it up, depending on.
So, depends on what you're into, I guess.
Yeah.
But every time you wear it, when other people wear it, especially the new one, because it has the three cameras on the front, you look like Hive from Destiny. It's actually kind of wild. I hope they come out with like a green version.
Maybe.
Nah, the PlayStation is the correct answer. The Quest 3 is super cool. I think it's a really cool device, but you don't get Spider-Man 2 with that. You don't get all the other stuff that comes.
Yeah, Rebirth.
But I don't play the games that I have now. I don't have time to play the games I have now.
Well, so
why would I get a Meta Quest 3?
But those games are like 10 hours and you're done.
Or do I get a more ballsy graphics card?
Whoa. What's your graphics card now?
My computer's not turned on.
Does it say RTX or GTX on the side?
It says MSI on the side.
Yeah, I'd get a new one. No MSI. I think I have.
No, but okay.
I can't remember, we looked it up. I'm like a 3010 or something.
Okay,
I don't think there is a
3010. That doesn't exist.
But whatever.
A 3070 probably.
3070. It's Jordan's old one. Jordan upgraded,
my old one's a 20.
A 2080?
2060.
Okay. If you're thinking of getting a new graphics card, just get the Quest 3 and the PlayStation, because that's how much new graphics card is going to cost you.
Yeah.
So just get both, because if you want, and I know you're going to want to get like a high end graphics card. Those things are expensive.
Well, if you get like higher end, I don't know that I want to get the highest end.
Well, if you get the highest end, you'll need to hire a power company to come with it. Because those 40 cards,
they need a special box for it too. Yeah. Like,
they're big.
It look like says the card he just got was the 4080 16 gig, and it's like
they're almost
so sexy. Oh.
They're almost like comically large now.
That's how they're progressing. They're not like, you know, it's always been.
Yeah, everything used to get smaller, and now everything's just getting bigger. Like,
we'll just put two together and put it in a box. That's what, and now it's three together.
You know what I've been like very seriously considering buying is like an ROG Ally or a Steam Deck. Like every day I'm thinking, man, should I pull the trigger? You know?
Round one of these, like round two is gonna be so much better.
Yeah, like do I want, you know, it's between like ROG Ally, Steam Deck, you know, it's really good. I don't know. I've been considering those more and more lately.
See, I think both. You wait on those.
Don't get the graphics card and just get both, David. That's what it sounds like.
To be fair. Reactor Leak, that graphics card was expensive, but he is slapping hard. He has no limitations on what he plays. Like, that is I would love to have a 4080.
Yeah,
I think everybody would, really.
Yeah, when you turn it on, the lights in the house dim.
It's like when you know when you turn your microwave on in the house and the lights, it's kind of the same.
You need a 220 hookup to get that power. So,
But
wow, Reactor League is flying over there.
No, I think if you're gonna buy a new graphics card, David, I think you can get like a 3080 for a little bit cheaper. Because I don't,
I should just wait. Yeah,
that sounds like sounds a weak like move, though. Because
yeah, it sounds like
an older generation.
Well, no, but because remember, like when you compare the 3080s to the 4080s, is there that much of a leap? I mean, I know there's like a leap, but I it's like it's not as much as there was from like 20 series to 30 series.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, no, look it up. Other than power consumption, I know power consumption is like whoa.
Wozers.
Because that was the big deal when I thought that was the big deal when the 40 series came out. It was like, yeah, these are really good, but why? Compared to the like if you had a 30 series card already.
Average scores, it's 67% better.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe the average.
Yeah, I don't believe the average
sound like, you yeah, sound like Ron Burgundy. You're on. I don't believe you. Lighting a cigarette.
No, I don't. I don't buy it.
Yeah, it's
Maybe I was wrong then. All right, go get the 40.
But it's twice the price. So
well, maybe that's what it was like for what you're getting at. I don't know. But anyway.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the nature of what this is. You pay more for more power
to get more.
If you're getting a 4080, you are not worried about money for.
Yeah.
You want that power. If you're worried about pound for pound, you're not getting a 4080. You're getting a 3080.
All right, everybody. Well, that does us for this week. Thank you very much for tuning in again. No after show, no members lounge this week since we're coming in remote. That's our rule. How we do it usually. So next week we'll be back in person. Spicy will be fully recovered and we'll be coming at you live. That'll so again, thank you everybody for joining us. Have a great rest of your week.
Are you gonna outro this or is it just gonna be a solid cut?
It's gonna be a solid
you are so lazy today. That's funny. Thanks everybody.
See you guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye, everyone.